Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and one of the liberal knocks against President Bush is his Manichaeanism, seeing everything in terms of good and evil, and a tendency to demonize his opponents. Well, political cartoonist Tom Tomorrow kind of turns the tables with a vengeance on the cover of his new compilation of cartoons, Hell in a Handbasket, Dispatches from the Country Formerly Known as America. It depicts a red-faced, devil-horned President Bush with pitchfork-bearing Karl Rove and Dick Cheney on either side. The new book, just out from Torture Penguin, brings Tom Tomorrow, the cartoonist formerly known as Dan Perkins, back to the show. Welcome back to WNYC,
hey,
Tom.
Good to see you again.
How much does the devilry on your cover reflect your view of the president, and how much is it a comment on his use of demonization?
Well, it's a lot less subtle than what I usually do, that's for sure. But these are not subtle times. This book covers about 3.5 years worth of material. They usually come out more often than that, but because of the new publisher and various boring factors, this one took a little bit longer. And so it starts right before the run-up, or right during the run-up to war. It starts in about November of 2002 and goes through right before Katrina, basically, mm-hmm. which is a pretty, you know, a lot of things happened in that time to understate it.
Really?
And I was just trying to come up with something that summed up how I felt about where we'd been and where we were going and what the whole thing meant, and somehow Hell in a Handbasket seemed like where we're going right now.
I should mention that the new book is the first compilation of yours that's all in color, according to the publisher's note.
That's true.
And for people who don't know, Tom Tomorrow's strip, This Modern World, runs locally in the Village Voice, also on Salon.com and somewhere else on the web?
Well, you can find links at thismodernworld.com, which is my own site, and that'll sort of direct you to the various places.
So do you think your readers at this point will want to revisit the 2004 election campaign and the months leading up to the war?
Well, yeah, that is the dilemma we face, isn't it? My publisher and I trying to convince people that would be a fun and enjoyable experience, and I try to make it fun and enjoyable. I do the best I can with the material I've got.
It even took us a minute to place Tom Daschle and Ari Fleischer looking at the cartoons. God, they've been gone from the Sunday morning talk shows for so long.
I know. There's one that I like quite a lot, but that has Tom Daschle in it, and you just realize, wow, a lot of water under the bridge since then.
That's right. I read where you said you hoped your cartoons helped people laugh instead of having their heads explode.
Which is something that happens to people in my cartoons periodically when the cognitive dissonance is just too great.
Indeed. So laughing can even help Democrats deal with the defeat of John Kerry, or maybe they're over that now and salivating at the 2006 midterm elections.
Well, I suppose looking hopefully toward 2006, I think a lot of people were really hoping that this administration was going to be a one-term administration. And, there was certainly some disappointment when that turned out not to be the case.
So I want to try to read for the radio audience your most recent cartoon.
Okay. Do you want to read it or do you want to have me read it?
Oh, you could. Well, I think I was going to do it, but it would be better if you do it. Why don't you do it? And for people who...
Why don't we both? Do you have a...
I don't have another one. And okay. We're not sitting close enough together.
Okay. Well, this is Sparky the Penguin talking to Biff, who's a sort of a straw man Republican who pops up fairly frequently. And Sparky says, "Can we have a rational adult conversation?" And Biff says, "Beg your pardon?" And Sparky says, "Can we just forget all the crap about Democrats wanting the terrorists to win? Can we take it as a given that secular Western liberals do not, in fact, secretly long for the imposition of Sharia law? Can we have a single discussion about the war in Iraq that does not end with accusations of treason? Can we act like grown-ups just this once?" And there's kind of a pause while Biff thinks it over, and then he says, No, we cannot do that, terrorist lover. And Sparky says, I didn't think so. And that was inspired by, directly inspired by watching Sean Hannity one night and just thinking they'd never give up. They never stop. They will never just have a conversation at, you know, without bringing in treason.
That is a very to-the-point line about secular Western liberals not, in fact, secretly longing for the imposition of Sharia law.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that always amazes me, as if liberals and Democrats are somehow secretly aligned with the Taliban. But the simple logic being because we all hate America.
One of the things that people can't see just hearing that text read is one of the things that I think is very effective in your pieces. You have textless reaction panels.
Yeah,
sometimes.
The pause panel.
Right. That is, you know, in a cartoon, think about the way you usually see cartoon strips, folks, and there are the, you know, the thought bubbles or the conversation balloons above the people, or in this case, person and penguin. And when do you ever see one without words? But you just have a reaction panel here where just for a second, after the treason reference, they just kind of pause and look at each other.
Well, it's all about the timing. I mean, you know, because I'm not writing for sketch TV or, you know, like Saturday Night Live or something, I'm trying to get the reader to read it with the proper timing. I'm trying to create the voices in the reader's head, essentially, and the intonation and so forth, which is why certain words will be emphasized and why there will be a pause, a blank panel sometimes.
Sometimes they have on The Daily Show just that kind of pause that makes me think of the textless reaction panel.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I wonder if you got it from them or they got it from you.
Yeah, oh, I think it's all about the timing. Just give it a moment and then follow through.
By the way, if anyone wants to talk to cartoonist Tom tomorrow of This Modern World fame, you can do so right now at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Have you ever thought of doing television like Aaron Magruder with Boondocks or something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the course of my career, there have been various flirtations. I actually did spend a year working with Saturday Night Live. Nothing ever made it on the air, and it was it was a mixed experience, would be the best way to put it.
Why?
It had its frustrations. Trying to think how I can put this diplomatically. Ultimately, at least at that point, it was a show that was a lot more about comedy than satire. And so where I was coming from and where they were coming from often didn't. Well, here's an example. There was one cartoon that somehow ended up with a kind of a parade in it, and I was trying to make some political point, and the people I was working with there said, okay, and then the elephant can jump on the donkey and start having sex with it. And I said, but why?
What's the
why?
Point?
Yeah. How does that fit into the other stuff we're doing in this particular... And, you know, that kind of thing came up a lot, and it was fairly frustrating.
What's your definition of satire?
Satire... is attempting to make, in my case, a political point, but attempting to make a point through the use of humor. Whereas humor is just, haha, look at the clown, look at the guy speaking in the funny voice. And then there's ridicule, which people often confuse with satire. Most conservative satire is basically ridicule, basically, haha, look at the poor people. Look at the underprivileged, ha-ha, they're all on welfare. That's, or in Ann Coulter's case, ha-ha, wouldn't it be fun to kill everyone at the New York Times? Conservative satire is often just mean, and the only point is to ridicule someone.
Actually, one of the blurbs on your book is from Ann Coulter. What does she say again?
Nothing remotely funny. And
did she actually say that?
She actually said that about me, but there's a sort of another level to that joke, which is that because her books so wildly take things out of context all the time, I thought it would be very amusing to take that line out of context. That was basically in the course of a longer rant about you know, it was one of those post 9/11 liberals hate America columns. It was me and I think Eric Foner up at Columbia and I don't know, some puppeteer or something. I mean, really just scrounging the bottom of the barrel, not really a puppeteer, but you know what I mean? Just these really random obscure people and pulling it together to talk about how just all liberals hate America. And she was referring to one specific cartoon from a few years back, which I thought was mostly sort of defensive, saying, no, actually, you know, liberals don't hate America in this way. But she took it as, well, pretty much a face value and said there was nothing remotely funny.
By the way, if anybody wants to call in and identify any conservative satirists, genuine conservative satirists, feel free at 212-433-WNYC.
Oh, sure, and sure.
433-9692. And there are some.
You're going to come up with one or two. You know, I mean, whenever someone like me sits here and makes ridiculous generalizations, obviously I'm setting myself up. But speaking broadly.
This Modern World, the cartoon written by Tom Tomorrow, which appears locally in the Village Voice, also at Salon.com, also on his own website. What'd you say, thismodernworld.com?
Yeah.
And John in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Tom, how'd you feel about the Danish cartoon incident with depicting Muhammad as somebody who draws? Immediately, my reaction is, you can't tell me what to draw. How did you feel about that?
Well, that was a very complicated situation. I mean, obviously, the first immediate answer is that you have to stand with the cartoonists against the idiots who are burning down embassies. There's no question about that. But beyond that, it was kind of complicated because, from what I can tell, those cartoons ran in this sort of right-leaning newspaper whose editor was sort of deliberately trying to pick a fight, and gosh, he sure got one. You know, a lot of people saw that as a real black and white situation, and newspapers here, you know, the New York Times should print those cartoons. I mean, parenthetically, I should point out that the New York Times no longer runs my cartoons, let alone these Danish cartoons. They've had a sort of an editorial change of heart about my own stuff. So anyway, I don't see riots in the street about that, but I'm being silly, of course. But it's, you know, the people who were really outraged about that, the thing that's here in America, I mean, who suddenly became these free speech champions, these people who just, you know, we must print these cartoons in the name of free speech. These were the same people who, you know, it's a wonder they didn't get whiplash from doing the 180 they did from denouncing Tom Tolles 2 days earlier. Tom Tolles had done a cartoon, very obviously a sort of a pro-troop cartoon talking about Rumsfeld's callousness. The Joint Chiefs of Staff wrote a letter to the Washington Post, and everyone was denouncing him. And all these people who were trying to get Tom Tolles fired basically suddenly, as I say, whipped around, did a 180, and suddenly they're champions of free speech. I feel like you get played no matter what you do on this. If you print those cartoons, you're playing into the hands of these otherwise censors here at home. If you don't print them, you're playing into the hands of these repressive morons abroad. I have to admit, it's a really complex one, and I have a lot of mixed feelings about it.
John, thanks a lot for your call. Tom Tomorrow, a.k.a. Dan Perkins, his new collection of cartoons called Hell in a Handbasket, Dispatches from the Country Formerly Known as America, just out from Tarcher Penguin. He'll be speaking and signing books tonight, by the way, at 7 at the Barnes & Noble in Chelsea. That's 6th Avenue and 21st Street. And Charlie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
I'm calling because I hear your title, and I wonder what a handbasket is. I've also maybe heard of Hell in a Handcart, but I'm just wondering if you found out what this expression means when you were doing this, and I'm going to sign off and listen to it.
He got me. I'm busted.
You
have no idea.
I don't even know. This is a thing
you go to hell in.
A handbasket. But why? It's a good question. You know, it's one of those cliches that we just accept without thinking about it.
I've been staring at this title for more than a year, and it never occurred to me to wonder.
In our audience, we have people who will know the answer to this question. So,
five minutes.
That's right. You have 5 minutes to call in, less than that, really, and say what the derivation of hell in a handbasket is, or even what a handbasket is. 212-433-WNYC. Phil in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Brian, Tom. Fan of both of you guys. Tom, I'm so grateful for your
your cartoons, because it seems like the only pointed, intelligent kind of opposition with the Democrats in disarray. So my question is, do you feel that your work or the work of any kind of satirical cartoonist galvanizes opinion or changes people's minds, and do you care?
Well, of course I care. I mean, you want to imagine that you might be having some impact in some way, or else it'd be pretty nihilistic work. I don't think my cartoon alone, no, but I think my cartoon as one of many, many voices in society can all add up to something. Right after 9/11, my cartoon felt very lonely. It felt like a very singular thing for a while. A lot of people were not speaking up. But these days, you know, there are a lot of voices and a lot of people out there saying these things, and cumulatively the message gets across, and when you read something like in the Times this morning, once again, there's a second memo that's effectively another Downing Street memo that once again has been verified, once again proves that Bush was planning to go to war in January of 2003 and was even discussing painting a surveillance plane with UN colors to try to trick Saddam into instigating a war. Kind of it would have been our own little Gulf of Tonkin. You know, whether or not that would have worked or whether or not that was a workable scheme or anything is completely irrelevant. The point is Bush was sitting there trying to come up with his own Gulf of Tonkin to trick everyone into this war. And you just, you know, sometimes I feel like, how many times can we shout and scream and say, look at this, look at this, look at this, and people just say, oh, yeah, he tricked us. And, I mean, but I do think it has a cumulative effect because, you know, his poll numbers are dropping, the war is less popular, people eventually, Americans are not stupid, they're just slow sometimes.
Oh, you're taking credit for that now. Phil, thank you for the call. By the way, we've only had people calling in to issue assumptions, opinions, or guesses about Hell in a Handbasket, but our crack producer Jim Colgan looked it up on an etymology website, and here it is. To hell in a handbasket simply means going to seed without effort, a handbasket being easy to carry.
There you go. Okay. Well, I'm glad we solved
so
that.
So the title of your book is absolutely inaccurate and unfounded, because I think it's taken great effort to get us to this point.
Well, we all learned something this morning. We shared a special moment. I think that's what's important.
That's right. By the way, we were talking about Sparky, the penguin. Didn't he become a Republican for a while?
Yeah, he got hit on the head by a falling toilet. It was after there was this spate of things, like the really tragic thing in the city here where a woman stepped on a plate in the East Village on the street and it was electrified and she died. But there were a number of things that were less fatal, but I just got to thinking, man, you walk around the city, you know, air conditioners falling out of windows. It's just a wonder any of us survive walking down the street. So Sparky got hit on the head by a falling toilet that I never explained.
See, I missed the original strip, I guess, because it really looked for a while there like Sparky was a Republican.
Yeah. Well, he got conked on the head, and he had a best-selling book, something to the effect of, oh, I can't even remember the title of it, but
and
it was
we don't even
typical.
Have time for it. So,
but he had an affair with Ann Coulter, too.
The book that Dan Perkins, a.k.a. Tom Tomorrow, hopes will be a best-selling book is Hell in a Handbasket, Dispatches from the Country, formerly known as America, from Torture Penguin. And again, he'll be at the Barnes & Noble in Chelsea, 6th Avenue and 21st Street, 7 o'clock tonight. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.